Good morning to you all, and welcome to those of you who are gathered here to worship with us in person, and welcome to those of you who are joining us on the live stream, and of course not forgetting those who may tune in at some later time to join this time of worship. We pray that each person gathered here may find that they are drawn closer to God and built up in faith. And a special welcome this morning, as you can see, Mission Sunday, and I've highlighted where Liberia is in the world, just in case you didn't know, and we welcome Mikey and Bethany and Finlay to be with us this morning, and Mikey will be telling us a little more about life in Liberia later on. You can see that they work at a neonatal hospital, so it'll be no surprise to you, and I don't think it'll steal his thunder if I tell you that Mikey and Bethany are both doctors. So, more of that later on. After the service today, we have a bring and share lunch here at church. We hope to start that at 12:30. Everybody welcome. And later on this month, on the 21st of July, we have a Kaylee here in the evening from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And I've been asked particularly to say, please sign up today so that we know how many and who might be coming to that event. So you have been encouraged to sign up. And then before that, in fact, on Saturday next, there is a ladies' breakfast, so for those of you to whom that applies, if it's a men's breakfast, we put pictures of bacon and sausages and beans and fried eggs, but clearly the ladies eat more healthily down at St. Andrews. So let's turn to worship, and as ever, the leader does the bits in yellow, and we all reply with the bits in white. From different lives we come to worship. From good weeks and bad weeks. Needing healing, needing peace. To the King of Kings, together we come to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. And so, if we are able, we will stand and we will proclaim the praise of our Lord and King. O worship the King, all glorious above.
Thank you.
remain standing and just proclaim to one another and to God those things that we believe as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so recognizing that we all need that forgiveness of sins, let's sit or kneel as we reflect on those things that we've got wrong, things we've said that we shouldn't have said, or things we've failed to say, things we've done or failed to do. Because Jesus Christ came into the world to rescue us from our wrongdoing. Merciful Father, we confess to you the wrong things that we have done and the good things that we have failed to do. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. We confess to you the wrong things we have said and thought. Forgive us, Lord, for we are sorry. Almighty God, who forgives all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our wrongdoings, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we come to a reading from Matthew's Gospel, which Patience will bring us, and after that, Mikey will come and speak to us.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 13. And is found on page 986 of the Church Bible, if you'd like to look at it. Matthew, chapter 19, verse 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus, for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought him. Jesus said, Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus replied, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. "Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So this is the clicker.
That moves you on. That moves you back.
Okay, great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Mikey amongst us, and we pray that we may hear his words. We pray that we may take them into our hearts and that you would give him the words to speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Over to you, brother.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for letting us come back, which sounds like a strange thing to say, but whenever I come to this part of the world, Malvern and Newent and this little area, my heart is always full of thankfulness, not just because of what you guys are doing to support the hospital in Liberia, but also very personal reasons. My wife is from this area, and Dave, who's the pastor here, the vicar, was a huge part of Bethany becoming a Christian and her growth in sort of her early years of following Jesus. So I'm always very thankful to come here, because without this church and without Dave and without all the people that were involved in Bethany's life, our family would look very different. I mean, we wouldn't have a family. So I'm really very, very thankful to you guys. So, and really, that is the best gift that anyone's ever given me, is my amazing wife and little boy. So thank you to, everyone who's been supporting Dave and helping him. Because really, the first time we came and shared here, it was very moving. And Dave actually shared a lot of how Bethany had come to know Jesus, and how Dave had been involved in that. And it was just amazing to see how that impact that Dave had put in years ago of really just showing Jesus to Bethany, how that's now come to a place where we're able to give something back and we're able to serve in Liberia. So that's really where we are, is just here to say thank you. I think as you can, I've gone backwards, whoops. As you can sort of see, we're involved in Liberia. This is us. Finley, last time we were here, it's about a year ago, we shared at the little lunch, kind of bring and share lunch. And Finley was very, very small. And now he's a lot bigger. He's changed a lot. He's managed a whole year in Liberia pretty much, which is incredible. And so we were about to go then, and I literally just came back from Liberia a week ago today. So I'm sort of fresh back from it, and we are hopefully heading out there again in a few months as a family. So the reason we're back here is mostly to do with Bethany's medical training. She's doing a little more training just to slightly kind of increase her skill set, so that when we get out there, we'll be able to do hopefully a little more. So for those of you who have not met us, we serve in a country called Liberia. If you can see where Africa is, we're kind of right, Liberia's sort of right in the corner there, kind of the bottom sort of bit sticking out into the ocean. And Liberia is still probably one of the world's poorest countries. It's a country that was pretty much destroyed by civil war all the way through the 90s. That only finished about 15 years ago, and it was just starting to get back on its feet and start moving when, unfortunately, the Ebola outbreak that was all over the news in 2014 and 2015 hit Liberia, and it hit Liberia very hard, and it really destroyed a lot of the health work and a lot of the health systems that had been put in place after the war. So it's had this kind of double whammy of hits, and obviously recently COVID-19 has done damage as well to Liberia. And some of the damage of COVID-19 was not so much in terms of people getting sick, but more in terms of what it did to everybody's well-being, what it did to the economy. It actually shut down a lot of the trading, a lot of the businesses that were starting to get established, and that, unfortunately, has made everyone poorer. And we currently are working on the biggest malnutrition program in Liberia. And to give you a sense of what COVID-19 did to us, when we started that program, we were running at about maybe 50 to 60 admissions a month. By the end of COVID-19, we were running at easily 120 to 150, and the children were much, much sicker just because there was a scarcity of food available. So it's a very, very hard country in terms of its poverty. In terms of the spiritual landscape, it's also not easy. There are some people who claim to be Christians. There are some really good churches that God is moving through. But there's a lot of animism, so a lot of people who their belief systems are very tied into the spirit world and wanting to please ancestors and basically keep people and keep spirits happy. And there's a lot of fear. People are scared. And one of the big signs that someone's become a Christian is they're no longer fearful of the spirit world because they understand that Jesus has brought victory over that. So that's one of the most exciting things, is when you see somebody go from that state of always being scared to a state where they are rejoicing in what Jesus has done for them. It's one of the most exciting things to see. And it's been encouraging to see that starting to happen a little more in the last few months. Just to say, we are currently working, so we're both doctors, as Peter said. I'm actually a GP by trade, but I've done a lot of pediatric work as well. And Bethany is on track to become a pediatrician. So 95% of what we do is work with children in Liberia. And the reason it makes sense to do that is because Liberia has a very, very young population. Probably half the population is actually under 18. And children are by far the most vulnerable group of people there. So we actually work in two hospitals. One hospital is called the Elwa Hospital. That's near Monrovia. And the other hospital is in a place, you can see where it's written there, Banga. And that hospital is still under construction, but we're kind of operating out of the building site anyway because the need is so great. And that second hospital is called the Jesus Loves Me Children's Hospital. It's a great name for a hospital. We were sitting around discussing what do we call it, and the director of the mission there just said, oh, you know, Jesus loves me. And I said, that's great, Don. Yeah, Jesus loves me too. That's amazing. He died for me. And Don was like, no, Mikey, Jesus loves me. I was like, yeah, Don, I know, Jesus loves me too. This is amazing. This is great. Keep it coming. He's like, no, Mikey, Jesus loves me. That's what we're going to call the hospital. So that name just kind of landed. And that's under construction, but still operating anyway as a smaller outpatient clinic. So I'm going to share some exciting updates from there as well as to where we are. But I just wanted to share a little bit of family news. That's us just arriving back into Pontydawy, which is in Wales. That's where we live when we're not in Liberia. And you can see Finley there has done really, really well. Those of you who don't know, Finley was born 11 weeks early. So the little guy that you're seeing crawling up the aisle trying to find out what I'm doing, that is not how things started. We actually had a really difficult birth. I was in Liberia at the time when he was born. I was due to go back at the end of the week. And I had a WhatsApp message from one of Bethany's friends basically saying, Bethany's gone into labor, come home now. And so I called this friend thinking it was a joke. And suddenly I found myself on a WhatsApp call into a hospital in Swansea where Finley was being born. And ended up watching the whole thing on video. So it was a very strange experience for me. But Finley was really extremely early. And just a couple of pictures there. You can see there's the picture there on one side. That's actually on Christmas Day. If you can see the picture clearly, it's quite an interesting one because his eyes kind of, you can't really tell where he's looking. Is he looking at me? Is he looking at Bethany? I don't really know. It's a bit of a kind of Mona Lisa vibe going on. You know, he's sort of looking at everybody in the room. But that's how he started life. And we had 7 weeks in the hospital in Swansea of not really being quite sure whether Finlay was going to make it, not being quite sure if the Liberia stuff was even going to be able to continue. We were worried that he might have some kind of serious handicap. And so there was a lot of praying, a lot of thought going on. And we're really thankful that God heard our prayers and Finlay came through without any issues really at all. And there he is on his first birthday in Liberia. That's our little house in Liberia there. Bethany made this amazing hungry caterpillar cake out of lots of tiny little cupcakes. She's really very good at that sort of thing. And we had lots of people around just to celebrate God's gift of Finlay. So the reason I tell you all of that is that has actually had quite a big impact on a lot of the work in Liberia. Going through that experience of seeing Finlay survive being a tiny newborn to where he is now had a very big impact on our newborn care unit. So one of the things we set up about 2 years ago was a very, very basic newborn care space with really at the time just 4 beds. And when I got out there, when we landed there a year ago, one of the first things we realized was that that space is just not up to scratch and we really needed to upscale it. So we actually, one of our first priorities was to fix the incubator. We have one working incubator in the entire hospital. And just having that one incubator actually puts us kind of above most of the other hospitals there because the other ones simply don't have anything. And we actually added another 4 beds to that newborn care space. And those beds are always full of newborns, sometimes in a similar condition to Finlay, how he was. And we've put a lot of energy into training a lot of the staff in how to look after newborns well, how to do their fluids and their feeding and all these different things. So really, Finlay's, the challenge we went through with Finlay was not in vain. I firmly believe that God used that time to show us something. And he really wanted to show us that we were to do more for newborns in Liberia. So the newborn care space is very, very special to us. And we're just very thankful that coming out of Liberia, where there are so many risks, if you think about how healthcare is in this country, if Finlay gets sick while he's here or in Wales, we just phone 111 or we go to the accident and emergency and someone will take care of him. If someone gets sick in Finlay, in Liberia, a child will just be going from one clinic to another in a kind of a desperate search for hope. And what you'll find is that a lot of the time, a lot of the other hospitals will not have medicine or they will not have supplies or they won't actually even have any staff members or doctors trained. When I was in Liberia a couple of weeks ago, we did a training course up in, I'll try and find it on the map again. Let's see if I can do that. There we are. Up beyond Banga, we did a little 1 week training course. And during that training course, we had a chance to visit the hospital we were doing the training in. It was about the same size as the Elwa Hospital, so about 120, 130 beds. And there were 3 doctors there. That was all, just 3 doctors for that hospital. And all of them had done just less than 2 years of work after medical school, and they're running that entire hospital. So we're incredibly blessed to have what we have here in this country, but also to have what we have at, even at the Elwa Hospital, where we have about 20 or 30 different doctors working there. So it made me very, very thankful for that. So I want to share a couple of stories of children who have come in. So this is one of my favorite pictures of all time. I actually had this as my screensaver on my computer for a while because I just love it. And this is the same child. And this was actually done by one of our partner organizations, the people who bring the plum peanut, Journeying with Faith. And this little girl called Faith is from a familiar sounding town called Buchanan. Now we're staying with the Buchanans. which is a wonderful experience. If you get the chance to stay with Peter and Margaret, just do it. You know, it's incredible. You will be fed and you will be rested, and you will. It's a wonderful experience. So thank you. But Buchanan for faith was a very hard experience. Faith basically was when there's a missionary down there who's one of our partner organizations, a lady called Lena, and she found faith basically abandoned at 4 months old. Mum and dad had kind of run off. Dad was not interested, denying that he'd even fathered faith. And the mum was very, very young, very scared, no idea what to do. And faith was just getting sicker and sicker. And in Liberia, what they say, if a child is malnourished, they'll say, a child body dry. And it means that they're getting thinner. So Lena basically discovered faith. And through this long discussion and prayer time with Faith's mum, eventually managed to get Faith and the mum to agree to come up to our hospital at Elwa. And what was incredibly exciting was as soon as Faith arrived, she was one of those children who, in many ways, you're really excited to welcome into the hospital because she just drank all the various milks that we have for malnourished children. She just started drinking them straight away. Normally, the children are really, really exhausted and flat, and you have to put tubes in their nose and all these things. But Faith, as soon as she saw a bottle of milk, just grabbed it and started going. And this was absolutely incredible. And so within 2 weeks, Faith was basically, as you see there, right on the other side, very active, very happy. And what was incredibly exciting was not only did Faith get well, but her mum found faith in Jesus. And that's why we have this little journeying with Faith. One of the exciting new things that we've done, even in the last month, we've firmed this agreement up. The hospital has a chaplaincy team, and the chaplaincy team is made up of Liberian pastors who are really godly guys and godly ladies as well. And they will come in, and they will spend several hours each afternoon just on the malnutrition ward, just with the mums. And a lot of these mums have never heard of Christ before. They will have spent a lot of their time being abused and hurt, and some of them will be even into all kinds of things like prostitution or drug use, and they turn up with their children that are really malnourished, and they're terrified and scared, and then their children get cared for, and they get to hear about Jesus. And it's an incredible, incredible experience to watch these mums go from being so scared to actually being empowered and knowing not only how to take care of their babies, but also getting something of Jesus' love. So that's really how faith came into our hospital. This little child is called Naomi. Now, again, you can see this is more of 1 month transformation, really, and this has actually happened just really before we got in a year ago. And she was actually sent to us at Elwa from the hospital in Banga. So the Jesus Loves Me hospital right now is just doing outpatient care. So if they have a child who's very sick like Naomi, then what they need to do is actually send that child all the way to Elwa, and that's a 4-hour journey. So we've essentially had a lot of children come down either in various missionary vehicles, or if we don't have a vehicle, what we have to do is basically trying to give them some money for a taxi. They'll come down and we just have to pray that they make it on this pretty perilous journey, really. And you can see here again, right away, Naomi arrives and she's really just skin and bone. And the situation here was that her mum had actually died. And she was being cared for by an auntie. And the auntie didn't have any breast milk and couldn't afford to buy any formula milk. So it was basically giving Naomi just this kind of coconut juice water stuff, which was doing her no good at all. So Naomi coming in, again, she was another baby who was just super hungry for the milk. And within really a few days, she was starting to feed. And you can just see the completely different facial expression there, really. And there have been so many children who have come in this way. And I think one of the children that stands out to me, again, is from Buchanan. Now, in Buchanan, there's this group of missionaries there who are incredible people. and they're really doing this sort of pioneer stuff way in the bush, and they're a bit nuts. You kind of have to be to do that. And they would always come to Elba with these children that were really sick, like kind of much, much sicker than Faith, children that were really on death's door, and children that were convulsing or had really low blood counts. And somehow these children would always survive. And they would do this incredible kind of prayer thing for these children, and they would survive. And one time they came with a child, this was in December, just gone, turned up with this child called Miracle, who was 3 years old. And Miracle comes into the emergency room and is breathing at over 100 breaths a minute, which is terrifying to see if you've ever seen somebody breathing fast. It's, you know, I do marathons and 5Ks and whatnot. I can't breathe at 100 breaths a minute, even when I'm running really hard. It's really, really dangerous sign. And her hemoglobin, was down at 3.6. And he just looked like he was going to die. He was in a coma and really on the way out. So I called the missionary. I said, look, this is too much. You've brought this child far too late. If you've got to stop bringing these kind of really sick children to us. This is just, you've gone too far. And I was really quite annoyed. But God used that child to teach me a lesson. So when I came in the next day, I came in expecting just to see an empty bed or a little bandaged up body. And there was Miracle sitting up, eating and drinking. And eating this, they have this rice with potato leaves on it. He was just eating it, going and smiling at me. I just looked at him and said, is that Miracle? And she's like, oh yeah, he started eating at 4 o'clock this morning. So we took the oxygen off and now he's fine. And I was like, you what? Yeah, he's fine now. Yeah. I think maybe by tomorrow we should let him go. What? How did this happen? And I remember just this sense came over me of like God saying to me, the child's name is Miracle. I'm trying to tell you something. And, you know, I've always had a slightly odd relationship with God. It's maybe not a very inspiring thing to hear a preacher say they've had an odd relationship with God. But I've always had this thing where if God wants to tell me something, he kind of has to, you know, get a massive thing and kind of whack me over the head and say, hey, you, wake up. And it really shook me, because it's very easy when you're trying to do a mission hospital to just do lots of things and say, right, we're going to do a ward round. We're going to do some trainings. We're going to write a report. There's 101 things. We're going to go in the operating room and do a procedure and just do. And actually God used that to say to me, hang on a minute. You can do your little things, Mikey, but I'm in charge here. I made the heavens and the earth. I made Miracle, and I do miracles. And that's the thing that God just kind of clobbered me with, really, that day. And yeah, and since then, I wouldn't say that I'm perfect in trusting God all the time, but it's certainly been it was certainly a moment for me where I realized that I need to put more of my trust in God and less of my trust in medical science. And obviously, we're following all the medical rules, and we're following the World Health Organization guidelines. We're doing all of that, but ultimately God is the healer. And that moment was something that just kind of shocked that back into me. So I wanted just to share a couple other kind of disparate thoughts. We read from Matthew 19, and the main part I want to share really is 19 verse 14. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And one of the things we noticed when we first arrived in Liberia was that the hospital basically had a very small pediatric department and a very big every other department. And the pediatric department at the time only had maybe about 5 or 6 beds that were full. And having grown up in that area, I grew up in Senegal, which is right next to Liberia, so I know the health patterns, and I knew there were hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions of children out there who needed care. And this verse just kept kind of hitting us way back even in 2019. Let these children come to me. I really felt God say, figure out where the hindrances are. Why aren't children coming into this hospital, and deal with it? Get rid of the hindrances, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And that verse is something that we kind of ran with as a couple. This was before Finley. And we would pray into that, and we prayed for God to provide resources for the hospital, to provide medicines that we needed, to find ways to basically make it so that the hospital was much more child-friendly. And what your support is doing, which is incredible, is it's actually part of a big kind of push to make healthcare either free or extremely low cost for children under five in that hospital. So in 2019, when we arrived, that didn't exist. Now that we've made that big change and that people are behind it and supporting it, we never have stockouts of medicine for children. We've never had a stockout of the plum peanut, which is what we use for the malnourished children. We've never had a stockout of the milks for the really sick ones. We've always had oxygen, and we've always had the staff paid on time. And that is a huge testimony to how God has moved the hearts of so many people all over the world. And really, without God doing that miracle of provision, it would still be a pretty much empty pediatric ward. But where we are now is we're actually up to about 60 beds in the Elwha Hospital that are for children. And that was a big change that happened really September, October time. There was an extra kind of 8-bed area that was added onto the emergency room, and another 4 beds were kind of carved out of basically what was a linen cupboard. And that has essentially meant that the numbers of children coming through have just continued to increase, because as soon as you start offering care, there's no shortage of very, very sick and very malnourished children. So we're currently running at about bed occupancy, usually close to 100% all the time. If you look at some of our newsletters that we've sent out and the reports, you'll see that we're admitting, as in children who stay overnight, about 300 to 350 children every month. And in the outpatient clinic, there's about 2,000 to 2,500 consultations. So it's got a lot much, much bigger than it was. And really, this Matthew 19:14 thing has come... It's come to fruition. Children come into the hospital all the time. And what we want to see, our kind of our exciting sort of next step, is not just having children coming to the hospital and being healed, but also children who come in and see more of Jesus. Because it's very, very easy just to do treatments and then children go home and mums go home. But what we're really pushing now is much more of a let's tell people why we're doing this. Let's tell people what Jesus has done for us. Let's tell people how Jesus brought us from death to life. And we sang about that today in the songs. And if you're a Christian, then you know how much Jesus has done for you. And what we're excited about is just letting that kind of basically spill out and come out into the hospital. So this little picture, this is actually our veranda. This is when we were living in Sierra Leone. And one of the things we want to do, especially as we go up and have more time at Jesus Loves Me, is actually have more open houses. So rather than just children being in the hospital, one of our kind of next steps really is going to be having a lot more children just coming in and out of the house and just being part of it and hearing Bible stories and actually getting the chance to experience more of Jesus. So that's really where we are. Just want to share a couple of other Bible thoughts, really. Isaiah 1:17, where it says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight for the rights of widows." Now, the reason I've put that there is it's very, very easy when you're doing kind of missions work to just get so focused on basically doing projects and doing programs and doing another service or another training program or just running a hospital and then trying to just sort of keep the mechanics of the hospital going. And all those things are very much needed, and they're good things, they're not wrong. But actually we can so easily lose sight of the purpose. And really, I think the purpose of what we're doing is found in this Bible verse, Isaiah 1:17, where the hospital needs to be tilted towards the cause of the orphans and the widows. And what you'll find is, if you did a kind of a straw poll of all the children who come with malnutrition, you'll probably find that at least half of them will not have a father in their lives. They won't, like, dad may be around maybe once a month or not at all. And you'll find that very often the mothers are essentially just abandoned. And so this verse has become a big kind of standing point, really, for the whole ministry with the children, has been to actually, let's actually do this. We've got an incredible opportunity with all these children coming to not only do medical care, but to prioritize them, so that when a sick child comes, they're not kind of sitting at the back of the queue and waiting for the wealthier people to come through. No, if they're a sick child and they're poor, they're right at the front of the queue. That's how we want to run the hospital. But it's a challenge, because whenever you start something new, and we're starting something new in a country that has had many, many years of not having the gospel, and you're bringing in a new gospel idea of caring for the poor and putting the downtrodden at the front, that's always going to face resistance. And one of our challenges has been trying to encourage a lot of the local staff to really take these messages to heart, and not just to go back to how things were before, and the sick people at the back and the rich people at the front. So please pray for us with that. It's an ongoing kind of discipleship work that we're trying to do to actually encourage this to happen. And this is the verse that I often give to a lot of the Liberian staff. Whenever people are upset because they'll say, oh, we've got too many children coming and we can't cope and we're exhausted, this is normally what I come back with, among other encouraging things as well. But just to say that we are, as a team, Liberians and internationals, we are caring for the cause of the orphans and fighting for the widows. I wanted to share something that may come as a bit of a shock. Matthew 10, 29 to 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Now, this verse really challenged me, because realistically, we have 300 to 350 children admitted every month. And of those, we probably lose about 10 to 20 children will die at least every month in the hospital. And seeing that is extremely, extremely difficult. Because as a doctor, there are things that I know that support and help that they would get if they were in this country and they had the resources that we have, and they had an intensive care unit, and they had, you know, more doctors and more equipment and more trained personnel. And there have been times when I've really struggled with that, and the injustice and the unfairness of it all. But what really got me here was, not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And that really struck me, because no child who dies without the father knowing about that happening. And the father cares for them. And, I mean, we can talk about the theology of this some other time maybe, but I firmly believe that children who are young, we will meet them in heaven. Children who die young. And really, seeing that the father cares for them in this verse, that's always put a responsibility on me. If God cares for them, then we need to follow him and care for them. And when you have a country like Liberia, where there are so many children, literally, if you go out into the market in Liberia, you will see the mums and the various grandmas and people will be selling their stuff, but you will meet dozens and dozens of children just running around. And the same if you go to church there, or if you just go to a village out in the bush, you'll find there'll be dozens of children. Hundreds. For every one adult, there's probably about two or three children in pretty much every village. And there's been this sense in villages and towns where they've not heard the gospel yet, of if a child dies, this is what happens. And we're coming in with a message that says, Jesus loves these children. Not one of them falls to the ground without their father's care. So rather than just saying, well, there's so many children and lots of them die, the message that we want to bring is, yes, children do die, but the father cares for them and he knows about them and he wants them to be well and he wants them to do well. And don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. And that's a really important message, especially for the mums who come with these children who have been told so many things and they've maybe been abandoned and just left with the child. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. That's what Jesus says to them. And that may seem strange to us because over here we think, well, of course we're worth more than many sparrows. You know, I've got a house and I'm worth this many 100,000 and I've got a car and of course I'm worth more than sparrows. But there are people out there in Liberia who genuinely, they believe that they are not worth anything. They believe they cannot be loved. They believe that things have gone too far. And so to show them this and to say that you are worth more than many sparrows, that the Father cares about you, even though he knows every little detail. And before these little malnourished babies were born, he put them together. He made them. He helped them come together in mum's womb and brought them out. And so really to serve among them is a huge, huge privilege. What's been exciting is just seeing the growth. But with every growth that happens, especially in a country like that, to go from 5 or 6 children admitted overnight up to 50 or 60 overnight in the space of 4 years, it's exhausting. And really, we're at a point now where we're kind of consolidating. We're trying to get all our staff up at a good standard of being able to give care. We're trying to make sure that we have the gospel front and center at everything. So at Elwha, the next 2 or 3 years, we're not doing any new expansions. We've got to consolidate what's going on and just lean into what God's doing. But I want to share a little about Jesus Loves Me. So construction's still going on. I think when I shared last time, we were building the hospital. We just started maybe the foundations. And the good news is the foundations are in. We've got the roof coming on. I'll show you a picture in a second. And Banga is a really, really tough, tough place. It's a very unreached part of the country. Very few people there have heard the name Jesus. So I really encourage you to pray for the missionaries and the local Christians who are working together there to bring the gospel, because there's a lot of opposition. It's a town where it's right in the bush, so you'll have lots and lots of people who do what's called bush medicine, which basically involves if someone gets sick, they go to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor has these sort of things that they do, and there's all this power game going on. And on many, many occasions, a lot of the staff there have actually stood up to the witch doctors and have managed to rescue children from being taken to the witch doctors. And that takes a lot of courage, especially for a Liberian to do that, because they're going against a lot of their own kind of people and their own tribe. For them to stand up to the witch doctor and say, no, we're going to take this child to Jesus Loves Me, that's a big deal. That's a very courageous stand. So I just encourage you to keep praying for especially the local staff. And it's a committed team. It's a smaller team than the team we have at Elwha, but they're serving as best as they can with fewer resources. This is some of our team. So in the middle, you've got Daryl. Daryl's an amazing guy, Daryl Bile. He showed up 2 years ago. He'd heard that we were interested in building a little clinic in the bush. And it was me and Don, who's the mission director up there, and we were just talking about ideas, and Daryl came in country, he was just coming for a two-week visit. And he said, I'll come for 2 weeks, I'll look at your project, and I'll give you some advice. And about 1 week into his visit, I remember him looking at me and looking at Don, and he had this expression on his face like, you both have no idea what you're doing with construction. you know, he just kind of said it with his eyes. And Don and I kind of looked at each other and we were like, Daryl, we really need your help. We don't know what we're doing with construction. You know, we don't know how to do this. And Daryl said, right, I'm going to stay till it's done. And he'd canceled his return flight and basically has stayed and faithfully served up in Banga, oftentimes as one of the only sort of construction missionaries there, just plodding away on this thing. And these are two of our local physician assistants. There's very few doctors in the whole country, so a lot of my training energy goes into the physician assistants. We've got Kau and Elizabeth, and they're both really dedicated Christians who care a lot about the children. So they've been helping Daryl a little bit with just pointing out where things need to go. And when I was there last month, Daryl and I had the opportunity to walk all the way through where we are now. So this is Jesus Loves Me Now. And we walked all the way through and basically decided where all the electrics and all the bits and pieces were going. And when you look at it, the one thing I see here, and you can't see much of the bush in the background, so it's maybe not the greatest picture, but there's no other construction there of that size for maybe 50, 60, maybe even 100 miles around. So it looks like this kind of Noah's Ark thing sort of rising up out of the bush. And one of the things that's kind of come back to me has, in terms of praying about this, has been when Nehemiah was looking at rebuilding the walls and he got all that opposition. And there were those guys, you know, Tobias and Sanballat and all these people, and they came and started kind of basically heckling him. And what he did is very interesting, is he kept the construction going, but he armed everybody and he prayed. And that's something that we're having to do a lot with Jesus Loves Me. There's a lot of opposition from various witch doctors and various sort of community leaders who see this as something that's stepping onto their turf, because we're bringing healing and we're bringing the gospel. And it's when this thing gets built, it's going to have an impact. It's going to mean that people don't just go to the witch doctor as they used to. So please pray, really pray for, it's a hard thing to say, but pray for the witch doctors. Pray that they become Christians. Because if that happens, that would be the most incredible testimony. And when I was a little boy in Senegal, I remember there was one guy who used to be a witch doctor and he became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, loads of people in the village turned to Christ because they saw that Jesus was so much more powerful than all the stuff that they were into before. So that's my main prayer, is pray for the witch doctors to become Christians and pray for our team to be not only safe, but thriving and doing well as this construction goes on. So while the construction's going on, I'm not just kind of sitting there. Our team is very involved in training the staff ready. So because the Elwa project down in Monrovia has got so big and has so many staff involved, we've actually started sending teams from there up to Banga to do training with the staff. And what's very exciting, you see the lady here, her name's Angeline. She's one of our trainers, and she's Liberian. And what's so exciting is seeing a Liberian person step up and not only give medical training, but actually talk to people about why Jesus loves children. And when it's heard from people from Liberia, it's taken to heart a lot more. Because if I just get up and I just talk about something, it often can be perceived as, well, there's a person from Wales telling us something, but it doesn't really apply to Liberia. But a Liberian person standing up, talking about Jesus and talking about how much he loves children, people sit up and listen and think, ah, this is one of our people. Maybe she's onto something here. So what's been very exciting has been God has brought people who are able to actually share the gospel. So that's been really exciting. We're getting staff ready, not just medically, but also in terms of the spiritual side as well, encouraging people as to the title of the first training session that we do. We do these week-long training sessions when we're up there. The title of the first session is, Why Does Jesus Want Us to Look After Sick Children? So you'd never be able to get that through a sort of World Health Organization meeting or anything. But that's really how we want to start. We want to start on the right foot with Jesus. So I just want to share a kind of a thought, really. In Liberia, healthcare and people's well-being, physically and spiritually, are very, very tied together. So if you ask a Liberian who is not a Christian, why did your child get sick? It's very rare for them to say, oh, because of malaria, or because they drank dirty water, or because they got a cold and then they got sicker and they started breathing fast. What they'll almost always say is they got sick because somebody cursed them, or because there was a witch in the village, or because some spiritual thing happened. And so while we're doing our medical stuff, we also want to kind of speak into that and also say, well, actually, Jesus is so much more powerful than any of that stuff. And this little boy came, he was another one from Buchanan. We seem to have so many children from the Buchanan household. It's very exciting. So this little guy came, and he actually had tetanus when he came. You can see his wound there, his tummy button. That was all open, and there was loads of gunky stuff in there. And he was really sick. He was convulsing, and everybody thought he wasn't going to make it. And somehow he survived. And as he started to improve and started to come through, there were people praying with the family, and the missionary team in Buchanan were praying a lot. And the family actually asked for a Bible to be placed really next to him. And this little Bible is so interesting. The Bible stayed right next to this baby all the way through the admission, just open on various different Psalms or bits of John's Gospel. And every time we did a ward round, the mum would be pointing at stuff and saying, well, what does this mean? So there is incredible openness. People want to talk about God. It's actually, in some ways, it's harder. In Wales, in Pontardawe, if I walk into a cafe and I just say, hey, who wants to talk about God? There'll be a lot of kind of confused and blank looks. Whereas in Liberia, you say something like that, and immediately you're going to have a response. Oh, yeah, I've got a question about God. And yeah, I know Jesus. And there's immediately a spiritual conversation going on. So when it comes to healthcare and biblical and spiritual matters, everything is in the mind of someone from Liberia. Those two things are completely, completely unseparable. They're just completely together. So it's actually an incredible chance to share Jesus, not only just through preaching at people, but through caring for the children in a way that speaks of Christ. And what we're finding is more and more people want to know, well, why is this thing going on? Why do we have this hospital that cares for children? And, you know, you guys aren't making any money out of this. Why are you doing it? And that's when it's, well, actually, it's nothing to do with me. It's all to do with Jesus. And Jesus gave himself up for us. If you come back to that passage that we read at the start, Matthew 19, talked a little about the welcoming children. But there's also the rich man there who's asking, well, what can I do? What must I do to get eternal life? And I've always find Jesus' response really interesting. There's a load of things that he outlines that are commandments. And then he talks about selling all your possessions. But really, what must I do? The first response is, well, why are you calling, why are you saying that things are good? Only God is good. And that really has spoken to me a lot of times and challenged me, because it's very easy to say, well, I'm doing some good things. I'm working in a hospital in Africa, so that must mean that I'm a good guy, so I'm going to heaven. And actually, there is no way that I can rely on what I'm doing in Liberia to get me into heaven. There's no way. It's completely impossible, because I will sin and I will get things wrong, and I get things wrong all the time. And, you know, all you have to do, if you want to really understand who the guy speaking to you is, whether it's me or whether it's a different preacher, if you want to really know them, just ask their wives, and they'll tell you, no, this guy is not perfect at all. But God is perfect. And God has sent Jesus to die in my place. And that is my big hope. So in as much as there's amazing stuff going on in Liberia and children are getting well and we're serving and we're giving of ourselves into this, that is not the hope. The hope is that Christ died one time for all of my sins and for all the sins of the world. And that anybody who trusts in him can have eternal life. And that's the big hope. So I just want to keep that at the front of everything that's said. Everything that we do in Liberia, that's always got to be at the front. Because if we run around trying to kind of work our way in and trying to follow the commandments, and, you know, I will break commandments all the time. That's what we do. We all will. We all fall short. We all get it wrong. Even when we're trying to do something amazing and exciting, like serving on the mission field. And what you'll find, if you go to any kind of missions situation, you will not find a collection of superheroes. You'll find a collection of very sinful, probably very tired and very frustrated people who are trying to serve the Lord and usually kind of falling flat on our faces a lot of the time. I once had a missionary friend who shared his testimony in a church, and a lady came up to him afterwards and said, "You know, one day you really must share your testimony properly. You shouldn't just share a list of ways in which you failed God in Africa." But that was his testimony, was that he'd failed and God had rescued situations. So to give you a few examples of what that's looked like in Liberia, so many times we've almost run out of something and God has provided. So the biggest example, I think I might have shared this when I was here last, was when we were running out of the plum peanut paste. So when children are malnourished, we put them on a little peanut paste thing called plum peanut. And as they eat it, as they it starts to get into their bodies, it really helps them to get plumpy. They start to become less malnourished and start to get fat. And we were always running out of this stuff. Like literally every other week, we'd be about to run out. And I remember every Tuesday night, we'd have a big feeding day on Wednesday. Tuesday night, I'd just pray and I'd say, "God, we're going to run out of plum peanut tomorrow. I can't fix this. You're going to have to step in here." And he would, without fail. And every week he would come through and we would have plum peanut. And it was an incredible miracle of provision. But if I start looking at that and saying, "Oh yeah, I did well," that's a nonsense. God did well. I kind of just asked him for some help. And I think that's the biggest thing I try and encourage our staff and our patients with, is I'm not the answer, but Jesus is. I'm doing my best, but it's always going to fall short. There will always be children that will not make it. But the answer is in Jesus. So just like to encourage you just to pray for a few things. Really, we've got to think a lot about the kind of planning at Elwha Hospital for children, because there are so many children coming through. It's very, very hard to manage the numbers. Even when I'm here, I get messages from various staff there every day saying, "What are we going to do? We're totally out of beds. If we have another 10 children who need to get admitted tomorrow, we've got nowhere to put them. Where do we go?" And so we have to try to set some boundaries. We have to prioritize the sickest children, the ones that really, really are sick and need our help. So I really encourage you just to pray that we do this right, that we don't mess this up. Because it's very easy to make snap decisions and say, "Okay, we're now no longer going to do this part of the project," but that wouldn't help anybody. Energy and strength for our staff, I mean, it's very exhausting, especially for a lot of the Liberian staff, because they're there all the time. They don't get to go back to Wales for a few weeks every year or do various things. They're just in the middle of this. It's hot, it's stressful. And we also have a big container of supplies that we're trying to get through the port, various plum peanut things, and also some new beds for Jesus Loves Me. So please, please pray that that gets through. It sounds like a strange thing to say, but with the system that the port has, there's a lot of opportunities for people to ask for bribes and ask for various kind of handouts, and that's not something that we like to do. You know, we like to work with integrity. We don't want to give out bribes. But that means that everything happens very, very slowly. So please just pray that that comes through. And then I put a couple other things here. Obvious thing is we would love to have more stories of families and people coming and being healed. And also the Jesus Loves Me, still in the construction phase. The roof is on now, but we're still putting in the electrics and all these things. But most importantly, the gospel of Jesus to win over the, what I call, animistic worldviews, the idea that the spirits are in charge. Actually, no, God made the heavens and the earth, and he is Lord of all. And that is something I really would encourage you to pray that people understand well. Oftentimes when people become Christians and they've had their whole lives just involved in spirit worship and various things like that, they become a Christian and they see Christ for the first time. It's really exciting, but they've still got to get rid of all that old way of thinking, all that way of wanting to please spirits and all that fear and all that stuff. It's got to go out. So please pray that when people become Christians, they will come through and actually really fix their whole eyes on Jesus. So just a couple of thoughts. I think this will probably appear at some point. There are ways to give and to get behind the project, really two ways to do it. We're missionaries technically with Serving in Mission, SIM, and there's a project that people can give to. Just to be very, very clear, as a family, we do not take funds from the funds that we raise. I work part-time for the NHS, and that's how we fund ourselves. So the advantage of that is anybody who does give, it goes straight to helping the children, either through buying medicines or supplies or things like keeping the electric on or supporting the staff. We've got, at Elwer alone on the malnutrition program, there's actually 31 people on staff just on the malnutrition program there. And we've got to try to keep them all going. So if people are interested, there's ways to sign up on the SIM website. You just go to the link there and you click through and you write the Sustaining God's Children. That's the name of the SIM project that gets funding there. Or we do just have bank details that people can transfer money into, and that will then get wired out to the hospital. So plenty of ways to get behind it. But really, the most important thing, and it sounds cheesy to say this, but it's true, is that you pray for us. Us as a family, getting out to Liberia is more complicated when you've got a little one. He's really good on flights, and he doesn't really notice the heat, but at the same time, if things go wrong out there, if he gets sick, there isn't the kind of help that's available. But most importantly, I think pray for all the children that are coming through, that they get to hear about Jesus. And just to say thank you so much for listening. Just want to leave you with this verse, really. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that's what excites me the most when I go back to Liberia, or when we all go back, is to see that children have had the chance to hear of Jesus, and maybe they're coming back a bit later and they're genuinely walking in his truth. So that's our greatest prayer, is that through this ministry, lots and lots of children would come to know Jesus. Lots of their mothers and fathers and family members would come to know who he is. So we do have a couple other things where if you want to find out more, we have a little very fledgling YouTube channel. So if you type in, the best video is actually done by a group called Samaritan's Purse. If you type in Samaritan's Purse Liberia, you'll see a little video that will come up of some of what we're doing as well. So if you want to have a look at that, that was updated just a few months ago. I think I'll just pray for us there. And then I think we're going to move into some more songs. So, yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church here in Malvern. Thank you for their faithfulness and their kindness in supporting the children who come to the hospital in Liberia. Lord God, I ask that you would continue to pour out your blessing here, that many people would come to know that they have a friend and Savior in Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing in Liberia. I ask for your wisdom and your guidance, and that you would show us how best to do this. Lord, I ask that there be many, many children and families who have testimonies of not only healing, but also coming to know that they have a Savior and friend. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Wow. But if we need to know that the Lord is the shepherd of all those children and they need to trust in him, so do we. Let's just stand and sing, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Would you like to sit down? And Paul will come and lead us in some prayers. And if you've been looking at your watch, I don't think that a minute of this morning has been wasted, but we are going to skip communion for this morning, and there will be lots of other times for taking communion, but for now we're just going to thank God for all the work that Mikey and Bethany are doing and pray for all that work and hand over to Paul for some intercessions.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. On this Mission Sunday, we pray for your work, Lord, to build your kingdom here in Malvern, in our country and around the world. In a week when open doors have come to talk to our churches, we pray for those Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith, yet hold on to that faith despite the pressures and terrors they face. Open Doors ranks North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, Eritrea and Libya as the worst 5 countries in the world for persecution of Christians. In North Korea especially, Christians face hideous treatment by the state authorities. So we ask you to bless and keep safe all those souls who trust in you so strongly, Lord. And we pray for young Christians in the Middle East and North Africa who feel hopeless and abandoned, and pray that they will have futures filled with opportunity and hope. And we pray for all who work with, who are engaged with the work of Open Doors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those Christians working abroad to ease the suffering of people in other countries, and especially for our mission partners. And it's been great to have Mikey and Bethany here this morning and to learn about the work they do in Liberia for small children. And we ask you to bless Mikey, Bethany and Finley as they juggle their calling to minister to the poor in Liberia with their lives back in the UK as busy doctors with a young family. And we ask you to bless the Elwa Ministry in Liberia and the Jesus Loves Me Hospital in Banga. We also pray for John and Elise Fletcher and their family, who have been living and working in the Klong Toei slum community in Bangkok for 9 years, but are now back in the UK for a year. The slum residents get a bad press, which leads to lack of opportunity and self-worth. John and Elise dream of seeing strong local leadership formed and neighbours finding strength in working together. They trust that God is building his kingdom in the most overlooked places. But their love and care for that community must now be delivered from afar, and we pray that the work started by the Fletchers will not fall away in their absence, and that with the help of your Holy Spirit, the physical separation of thousands of miles will be irrelevant to your mission. And we ask you to bless the Fletcher family as they adapt to life back in the UK and for all the challenges that they will be presented with after living in 9 years in Bangkok. And we pray too for the work of CMS in Peru, and especially for the work with families and disabled in which Pat Blanchard used to work before her retirement from Peru. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This Sunday is also Sea Sunday, with a focus on the work of the Flying Angels, the mission to seafarers, and the pastoral support given to all seafarers all over the world. We pray for Guy Crumpler, who grew up in our church and is now a ship visitor in Kobe Port, Japan, working with seafarers on container boats. And we pray for the work of the mission in Kobe, and especially for Guy and his boss Paul, who are working long hours with an increased workload now that Japan has allowed seafarers off the ships. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And here in Malvern, we pray for the work of CAP, and especially for Denise and Kat, who lead the team helping people to escape from debt. We pray too for all those befrienders from our churches in Malvern who walk alongside those trying to improve their lives, and ask you to grant them wisdom, compassion and understanding as they build their relationships with the clients. We pray too for the Littleton Well, which was set up to be a beacon of love in our town. We pray for those who work there and for those who manage the well and its facilities, and especially for those from our church. We pray that the well will continue to be a source of spiritual refreshment, help and sustenance for those who pass through its doors. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. And we pray for ourselves. We remember that we're all called to spread your gospel to everyone. So please help each one of us to recognize the opportunities that you grant us in our daily lives to spread the gospel of your love for all. Help us to engage with others just where we are in whatever we are doing. Keep us alert and give us the right words and actions to help you do your work. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And this is where I flick through a lot of slides so that we can join together in the Lord's Prayer. And after the Lord's Prayer, we'll go straight to our final hymn and ask God to be our vision, which is probably not what... Peter's nodding, we're okay, we're in business. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just like that. Be thou my vision, our final hymn. Let's stand and sing. Lord, we are conscious that we have been given so much in this country, and we offer you these tokens and the monies paid through direct debits and standing orders, and we ask that we may be generous with all the good things that you have given us, and that all that we have may be used to your glory, to look after your children and build your kingdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw each one of us to himself, and the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.